When I was driving back from Madison on Valentine's night, we had XM Sirius Radio on, and we put on the Beatles channel. And Peter Frampton was hosting the top 50 Beatles love songs. That's a lot of love songs that are to be sung. But we're in this sermon series in this month of love, and the series is All You Need Is Love. And as I said right away, it doesn't matter if you don't like the Beatles or have never heard of the Beatles. This is not a secular sermon series. This is about the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And so in the very first week, we experienced Blackbird. Joe, is Joe here today? Joe sang Blackbird as Johnny played it on the guitar, and we heard the truth that God shows no favoritism. There is no partiality, that this love of God is for all. Jesus is Lord of all. Last week, we had a soloist all set aside for All You Need Is Love, and he came down with the flu, and so we said, hey, John, do you want to sing the lead on All You Need Is Love? And that's the easiest arm there ever is to twist. He loved it. He loved it. Next week, we as an entire congregation are going to sing Let It Be. But today, our focus is Can't Buy Me Love, and that came out in 1964. It was a part of the A Hard Day's Night album, and the movie came out later that summer. And in the very first day it was released, it sold more than 2 million copies. They had 2.1 million pre-order copies. When it first hit the Billboard charts, it came in at number 27, and the very next week it was number one, making it the fastest rising song to number one. And that lasted for 38 years until Simon Cowell and Kelly Clarkson had this idea for American Idol, and then she did that. This song was just one of songs that there was a time in the spring of 1964 where the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth song on the Billboard charts were all Beatles songs, all of them less than 2.5 minutes long. But if you turned on the radio in 64, which I obviously did not do, you are probably going to hear a Beatles song sung to us. And so today we experience Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't buy me love, love. Can't buy me love. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. 'Cause I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. I'll give you all I got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. Well, I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love, can't buy me love. Everybody tells me so, can't buy me love. No, 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 no. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things that money just can't buy. Well, I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. So can't buy me love. No, 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 no. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things that money just can't buy. Well, I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. Love can't buy me
Sister Act 3. Back in the habit again. Can't buy me love. You know, if we just step back and think about it, we know that's true, right? We know that some of the most important things that we can ever experience in life simply aren't for sale. It's interesting, 1 year before they came out with Can't Buy Me Love, which Paul McCartney wrote, the Beatles published a song that was somebody else's song. Maybe you remember that song. The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Give me money. That's what I want. That's what I want. Paul McCartney, you know, it's kind of ironic. He sings, you know, I don't care too much for money. Does anyone know how much Sir Paul McCartney is worth? He is the richest rock star ever. He's worth $1.2 billion. Bono is number two at like $700 million. So it's a good thing he doesn't care for it, but he's certainly got a lot of it. We live in a world where we think everything has a price. Name your price. I want it. And we kind of fall into this misbelief that that's just a Western culture thing. But I'm standing before you to tell you, as long as there have been human beings with resources, they've been trying to use it to acquire things, to get more, to have a leg up on somebody else. This concept is as old as humanity. And so we have this story for us this day, and it's taken from the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the story about how this word of God with the coming of the Holy Spirit goes from just being this little regional thing and now is going to go around the entire world, even to places where good Jews didn't want to go, like Samaria. You see, the Samaritans were frowned upon. They were looked down upon. Matter of fact, the Jewish people kind of had racial derogatory things to say, called them half-breeds because they didn't protect the pure marriage line. But God's word was on the loose. Now, there was this little village in Samaria, and there was a guy there who was famous. His name was Simon. And Simon sometimes is called Simon the Sorcerer. Most people refer to him as Simon the Magician. And he was good at his magic. People would flock from all over to come and to see what he would do. And we know the definition of magic is belief in supernatural forces and the attempt to manipulate them for human or personal benefit. Young, old, male, female, everyone stood in awe of him. You think about this pre-scientific world, some of these tricks just must have blown people's minds. Even today, if I go to see a magic show, I went to see a couple years ago The Illusionist, and you're trying to figure out how they do that trick, and you just can't. It's amazing. Well, all of a sudden, Philip, one of the people of the way, one of the Christ followers, he goes up to Samaria, and he starts to preach. And he is drawing crowds, and the Holy Spirit is working through him, and he's doing some miraculous things. And Simon is seeing that everyone is starting to flock to Peter and this message. So he is literally in Philip's back pocket all the time. And this is where the story picks up. I am reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 20. I'm going to be reading from the same version that's in your pew Bibles. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as of yet, the Holy Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, that translation, the NRSV, says, "May you perish with your money." Other translations have stronger language. One says, "You and your money will both end up in hell if you think you can buy God's gift." Another says, "May you and your money go to hell for thinking that you can buy God's gift with money." And another translation simply says, "To hell with you and your money." But we know that money issues have been getting the church and churches in trouble for a long, long time. Think about before the Reformation, before there was a Protestant church and a Roman Catholic church, there was just the church. And something terrible started to happen. They were selling indulgences. People, instead of going to a priest and repenting, could simply buy their forgiveness. Even worse, and what really bothered Martin Luther and others, was this preaching that if you just give enough money to the church, you see, they were building this magnificent structure, if you just give enough, your mom or your grandma can get out of purgatory and go into heaven. The church was basically saying, you can buy your way into heaven. I wonder if Martin Luther took out his Acts chapter 8, verse 20, and underlined it and said, no, no, no. The Bible does not say this. The Bible says exactly the opposite of this. And so we have this Simon. Matter of fact, there's a word that is still in the life of the church from Simon. It's called simony. Has anyone ever heard of the word simony? Simony is the selling or the purchasing of offices in the church. I want to be bishop. I'll just pay enough money, I can be bishop. I want to be board chair. I'm just going to pay enough money to become the board chair. This is a sin. This is not what God would intend. But when we think about Simon's motivation, we wonder, was he simply trying to buy himself into being one of the official apostles? You know, the apostles had great authority, great power. Simon liked authority and power. Ironically, it was Judas who would have been an apostle who lost that when he was allowing himself to be bought. 30 pieces of silver. No, you cannot buy apostleship. You cannot buy discipleship. You cannot buy grace. You cannot buy love. Can't buy me love. He was trying to use his money as a power play to lead, so that he would have this new trick that he could amaze more people and that he himself could profit. When I read one of my study Bibles, the notes this week, it said this: he never would have committed this sin had he truly and deeply believed in God. It goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is not something, it is not a power to be manipulated, it is a power, it is love that needs to be obeyed. The Spirit of God is a gift, not a magic power that can be purchased. But there are some things that are important in life that can be purchased. And so at our ALB meeting this week, I looked at all those who were there, and during the devotional section, I say, what are some of the truly important things that money can buy? And their answer is much like what you would probably answer: food and drink, right? Money can buy food and drink. It can't buy you self-control. Money can buy shelter, but it can't purchase that feeling of home, that concept of truly home. Money can be used to make more money, but to what end? Money can buy you formal education. It can buy you knowledge, but it's no guarantee that you're going to have the job that is the right job. How many people in our society are underemployed or misemployed? Money can buy you clothes, but not style. That is something I know all too well. If I wasn't wearing this robe, you'd say, yeah, well, you did buy those clothes. Good for you. Not much to look at. Dolly Parton said, it costs a lot of money to look this cheap. I love that quote. Money can buy you memberships, but it can't necessarily buy you a true sense of belonging. Sean Gaffney, who is our finance representative to ALB, said, money can buy us a new roof. I said, yes, and that is important. Money can buy glasses, and it can buy medicine. Money can pay for health insurance, but it can't buy health. I heard a story of a man who was walking down the street, and he had a cardiac event. Thanks be to God, it happened very close to a hospital. And when he woke up, he was in Mercy Hospital. He had had open heart surgery. And as he came to, he was a little disoriented. And there was this nun sitting there stroking his hand. And she said, oh, Mr. Smith, it's a good thing we've got you when we did. You're going to be okay, Mr. Smith. I know you're in a lot of pain right now. You're going to be okay. And she just sat there and stroked his hand. And he's not a very religious man, but he really appreciated that compassion, the presence of the sister there with him. And then the sister said, Mr. Smith, do you have any health insurance to pay for your stay here? And he said, no. Okay, Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, do you have any family that might be able to pay for your stay here? And he said, no, I have only one sister, and she's a spinster nun. And the nun said, oh, Mr. Smith, nuns aren't spinsters. They're married to Jesus Christ. And so Mr. Smith said, okay, send the bill to my brother-in-law. He'll take care of it. He'll take... Money is important. Without it, we'd have no roof over our heads, no food in our bellies, or clothes on our back. And for those of us that live in a part of the world that winter is very, very cold, they can keep us warm. Money can allow us to do things that we could not do without it, but it is not the means to an end. There are things that money cannot buy us. Not a single one of us can buy back lost time. Time that was wasted, time where we weren't doing what we should have been doing, that time is gone forever. Time cannot buy you happiness. Matter of fact, some of the most miserable people in the world are those that when we looked at them, they'd say, they have all the money, yet they're miserable. If you just research how many millions and billions of dollars Americans spend each year playing the lottery, and yet it is proven time and time again that oftentimes winning the lottery actually ruins somebody's lives. They have done shows about this. They say, this was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I thought it was going to give me everything, and now I have nothing. No one, nothing. How many people have been so consumed with accumulating wealth that it cost them their family, that they now have grown children that have nothing to do with them because they never really knew them. There was no investment of time. There was no real exchange of love. And suddenly, you come to a point in your life and you realize, I am all alone. All I have is this money. And it doesn't make me happy. John Wesley used to get on his horse, and he would just ride and ride and ride and preach and preach and preach. And he went to one destination, he was preaching, and one of the individuals said, come and see my estate. And the man was bragging about everything he had, all the buildings, all the animals. And he said, what do you think, Mr. Wesley? And Mr. Wesley said, I think you're going to have a hard time leaving this behind. A hard time. You can't take it with you. Money can't bring back lost time. Money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy you happy, well-adjusted children. The only investment that will do that is the investment of yourself, of your time, of your love, of your guidance, of your nurture. Money can't buy you success. Money can't make you great. Some people become what we think of as a success by questionable practices, by bribery or coercion. No, it doesn't make you great. Your account may be an indication of how gifted you are or how hard you have worked, but it does not make you a success. It does not make you great. As a matter of fact, when Jesus defined what greatness was, it had nothing to do with money. It had everything to do with your capacity to love, to be in service, to be a servant of His love and His grace. That's what true greatness is. Money can't buy you talent. It maybe can buy you coaches and mentors, but some talents are just simply God-given. Money can't buy you class. It just can't buy you class or manners. It can't buy you class. Money can't make you classy. There's that illustration of this guy who was in the Ozarks. He was kind of a mountaineer, and he was going out, he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground came this bubbling crude. Oil, it was. His friend said, you got to get out of here, Beverly Hills. And when people came over, they said, would you look at our cement pond? Now, they had manners, but they weren't classy in the way that the rest of Beverly Hills was. Money can't buy peace. It simply cannot buy peace. If money could buy peace, I think we would be there by now, don't you? Think of the millions and billions of dollars that governments have spent over the years in the name of peace. Has it worked? No. Peace isn't something you buy. Peace comes by acting fairly, humanely, and treating others, other people, other nations, other cultures, the way you want to be treated. That rule is so important. We call it gold, but you can't buy it. You simply live it. You live it. Money can't buy you peace. Money can't buy you serenity or contentment either. There's a story of this man. He had a large corporation. He was the founder, the CEO, and he had his annual meeting at this beautiful hotel right there on the ocean. And during one of the breaks, he went out to take a call and just to get some of the fresh air. And he was walking, and he saw this guy wearing a ratty T-shirt, a pair of shorts, on the beach with a fishing pole with the bait out in the water. And, you know, he had just spent all morning telling his employees how they had to work harder, work smarter, you know, do more, spend more time doing this. And he went over and for some reason he just kind of went off on this guy who was sitting there fishing. Said, you shouldn't be out here in the middle of the day during the middle of the week. You should be at work. You should be working hard. You should be making money. And the man said, well, what would my reward be? Well, if you had more money, then you could buy a boat and you could go out and you could fish. And what would my reward be? If you had enough money, you could get bigger nets, you could get a crew of people, all who would help you catch more fish, and you could sell the fish. If you just worked hard enough, you'd have enough money to get all this fish and sell it, and you wouldn't have to work ever again. And then what would my reward be? Well, then you could just take time off and fish. Man, didn't even need to speak. What do you think I'm doing here right now? No, it can't buy you contentment. It can't buy you serenity. But as was our theme for today, not for sale. Love, not for sale. Money can't buy you love. Money might be able to buy you an initial attraction or kind of open the door to lust. I remember about 10 years ago, I was golfing with a buddy of mine, and the starter put us out with two other guys. They were a little bit older than we were. And these guys had a lot of money. They had the nicest stuff, and they were dressed immaculately, and they talked about their business. They were kind of having this competition as they talked about who had more money. And then the cart girl came around, adorable 21-year-old girl. And she said, it's amazing how much money can make an old man look hot. I don't think I've ever heard a sadder statement. People who marry just for money oftentimes exist in loveless marriages. It might buy attraction, but it's not going to buy true love. True love cannot be purchased. It simply can't. You know, you can love money, but money does not have the capacity to love you back. Now, let me be straight. I'm not saying that we should all go on a monastic retreat with a quest of deeper meaning around this. It is important to manage your money well. It is important to earn enough to secure your financial future. It is important to have enough that you can be the steward that God calls you to be so that your money can be a wonderful way to help make a difference in the lives of individuals, in the lives of communities of faith, in the lives of our world. That money can only do so much. The truest and most important things in life, friends, are simply never going to be for sale. You cannot buy your immortality. Think about all those people who had their bodies frozen in those cryogenic chambers. Has any one of them ever bought their real mortality? Has any one of them ever been thawed out and come back to life? No. The only sure thing in this life is death of the body. But it doesn't have to be true about the soul. And you cannot purchase your soul's future. Last year during Lent, we had our sermon series, The Final Words of Jesus from the Cross. And do you remember what the final word was? It was a word called tetelestai. Tetelestai. Say that with me. Tetelestai. In our Bibles, in our pew, it's translated as, it is finished. But what it really means in that culture is paid in full. paid in full. If you were one who was having to work your way out of debt, once you finally made that last payment, they would write on your bill, tetelestai, paid in full. And so what Peter is saying to Simon, you know, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. As Neil was telling the children, God's love, God's grace is free, and what? It is freely given to all. Paul got this right away. And so Paul writes to this church in Rome in the 5th chapter, verse 17. If because of one man's trespass, and this is a reference to the Garden of Eden, if because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the what? The free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that anyone that believes in him doesn't buy grace, doesn't buy love, doesn't buy everlasting life. No, they receive it. When we say, here I am, take me. Now, the book of Acts has another story about money. Ananias and Sapphira, who sell their property and they lie to the church and they take some back and they fall dead. That doesn't happen to Simon. Simon is extended the same opportunity that you and I are. You see, Peter says, I didn't read it before, but Peter says this in verse 22, repent. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that the intent of your heart may be forgiven. Friends, all of us have done some things that we know we should not do, but that doesn't have to follow us. Why? Because of what really matters, the free gift, the gift of the love of God, the gift of grace, the gift of life everlasting. There is no amount of money that can buy salvation, forgiveness of sin, or the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. They can only be accepted through repentance and through the belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. May you all say yes to that free gift. Amen.